52 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Biden goes to church, delivering a sermon on the birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church, where King was a pastor.
We gather to contemplate his moral vision and to commit ourselves to his path, the path that leads to the beloved community.
This a day after President Biden's special counsel revealed that five more pages of documents with classified markings were found in a room off the garage of Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. A special counsel appointed, congressional Republicans calling for an investigation about the timing, but Democrat Adam Schiff saying on ABC's This Week,
it looks, as far as we can tell, that it was inadvertent that these documents were in these locations. When they were discovered, they were immediately provided to the archives or to the Justice Department.
A domestic airline flight crashing in Nepal, leaving at least 68 of the 72 people on board the plane killed. This is ABC News. Reaction to an 18-year-old Indiana University student repeatedly stabbed in the head on a bus in Bloomington last week, allegedly because she's of Asian descent. ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
Among the students gathered at the Asian Culture Center in Bloomington, Indiana, Saturday, Audrey Lee.
We are still outsiders.
This is one of the countless times where I have felt like a perpetual foreigner in America.
William Legato, another student with a message for the victim and her family.
I'm also the son of immigrants. I understand your pain. You're not alone.
Billy Davis is charged with attempted murder. Police say she told them she did it because it would be one less person to blow up the country. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
New York City's mayor is going on a fact-finding trip today to help manage a migrant crisis in his city. Eric Adams will meet with El Paso's mayor and other local, state, and federal officials to see what they've learned coping with an influx of asylum seekers. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wildlife officials are still trying to get to the bottom of the recent death of a bald eagle in southeast Wisconsin. They're asking the public for help. Mike Moen reports.
Last month, the wounded animal was discovered just outside Milwaukee and later died during surgery. The Humane Society and the Department of Natural Resources say there's evidence the animal was shot. The DNR's Nick Myoski says the probe continues, that any information from the public would certainly aid their investigation.
If anybody has any information about the eagle or knows anything about what happened, to contact our Wisconsin DNR tip line.
That number is 1-800-847-9367. Eagles and their nests are federally protected under the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act and the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Wounding or killing one of these animals comes with a $100,000 fine and 1 year in prison for a first offense. The punishments increase for a second violation. The DNR says Wisconsin's bald eagle population has rebounded after previously being on the endangered species list. Myoski says he understands how startling cases like these can be for the public.
I can definitely understand how people are passionate about our national symbol and icon, and being in the line of work that I'm in, whether it be an eagle or another wildlife, I mean, I don't like to see anybody intentionally harm wildlife outside of regulated hunting and trapping.
Earlier this year, the agency was investigating another fatal shooting of a bald eagle. That incident also happened in the southeastern part of the state. It's unclear yet if there's any connection to what happened in December. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The toilet sneeze. Every flush spews bacteria onto surfaces that little Bobby touches and then spreads to the light switch and everywhere else in the house. Yuck. so Dad uses Microban 24 to help stop the spread. It's the only sanitizing spray with a long-lasting shield that keeps killing 99.9% of bacteria on surfaces for up to 24 hours. Be confident you're protecting your family with Microban 24. Don't just sanitize it, Microban it.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, Oshkosh Air Support.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's exactly right, and a wonderful Native organization helps to sponsor this portion of the program. It is the Native American Community Development Institute, and they run the All My Relations Arts Gallery on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Right now, they have a wonderful dance performance by Rosie Sima's Dance called She Who Lives on the Road to War, but there are limited in-person performances, and there's only 10 days left, so make sure you go to allmyrelationsarts.com and get your tickets.
Yeah, good call there. Hey, Ogama, we don't do this enough, but we want to say Pinigigi to all our Patreon supporters. And we're on the Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island. And I just want to thank people, and Pinigigi means thank you in Ho-Chunk. Thank you for the pleasure and the privilege of your time when people listen to our show. I think that's really huge. And we run into people all the time that listen to our show, Ogama, and I just want to give a heartfelt Pinigigi thank you. And let's get to the news now that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we get with Ogama here? And everyone, wherever I go, Ogama asks about you. So take it away.
Yeah, Buju, Anin, relatives, I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I have some news today. The first little bit of news I want to give you is just right up in line with what Robert said. We really appreciate and want to say Chi-Mi-Gwich to our Patreon donors. And if you're interested in being generous and giving for the holiday season, you can go to patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. And anything that you feel comfortable donating is definitely helpful to us here and helps us to provide the great content that you hear on our show every day. So patreon.com/Native Roots Radio Network. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was just a little bit of a wrap up on the Tribal Leaders Summit that happened this past week in at the White House in Washington, D.C. And I think what is most interesting, there has been like a very short window of time for this White House Tribal Nations Summit. It was started under Obama, and then between COVID and the Trump administration, things went kind of quiet. And now this year was its first year back in person since Obama. So there was a lot of Native people who came up. But I think one of the most interesting things is that Indian Country Today reported that the youth were there and tribal leaders were there, and they were saying things like, "You're saying we respect your treaties and then not actually respecting treaties, or you're saying that we're going to come and transition from consultation to consent, but you're not doing that." So there were tribal leaders there who were really willing to talk with federal officials and say that the government is not doing its due diligence, and they're giving a lot of words without action behind them. And that is really exciting, I think, for me to hear about. How about you, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. And it really, it makes me personally pause, because, you know, we talk a lot about things, and we need to really walk the walk. And I don't mean you, but I'm just mean the general you. And so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that tribal leaders were, you know, respectfully critical of what happens at the federal level with the government and the diligence that's needed to ensure that Native people are heard. So the that kind of leads me into my next thing, which is that there's, and this is from 2021, but I don't know that we've talked about this yet. So I wanted to make sure that we were you know, aware of this, but the Safeguard Tribal Objects of Patrimony Act of 2021 is passed, and the bill prohibits the exportation of Native American cultural items and archaeological resources that were illegally obtained. It provides for the return of those items, including voluntary returns, and establishes and increases the related criminal penalties. So this kind of stemmed out of a Southwestern tribe who had a shield that had been stolen a long time ago, and it turned up in an auction in Paris. So what it means is there's no exportation of Native American cultural items, which is a way that people who steal Native historical facts for profit find a way around the current federal laws preventing people from creating non-Indigenous works of crafts and other things when they're not an Indigenous person. So this bill also requires the Department of the Interior and the Department of the State to each designate a liaison to facilitate and hold trainings and workshops on the voluntary return of human remains and cultural items. Many universities and museums across the country still have the remains of our relatives and cultural items within their collections, I guess you could call it, and many of them are on display. And a lot of Native people, myself included, find that really deeply disturbing. I don't know about you, Robert.
Wow, Ogama, such a good point. And thank you for bringing that up. I know I don't want to cut into your segment here, but I just have a personal experience with somebody that passed away. Their father was an antique store owner for many, many years. And guess what he had? He had scalps. He had all these things that was okay to sell, you know, 30, 40 years ago to other people. So it just blew my mind.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the idea of, you know, going into a museum and, you know, they're not a replica, they're not something that, you know, it's not dinosaur bones, you know, it's not, although I don't necessarily believe in the treatment of the dinosaur nation in that way either, but I mean, you know, they're not replicas, and there's really no good reason for the remains of another human being to be on display in a museum or to be regularly used at a university level. Anything that can be learned from those remains has probably, number one, already been learned, and number two, does not need to be on display in a public setting to learn anything more from it. So
you're kind of cracking yourself up about that dinosaur clan, weren't you there for a second?
I was, you know, my family really enjoys, that's our favorite joke from Reservation Dogs, is the Dinosaur Nation. And we joke about it all the time. One couple more things in this STOP Act is what it's called, the Safeguard Tribal Objects and Patrimony Act. It's also going to require the convening of a Native working group consisting of representatives of Native tribes and Native Hawaiian organizations to provide advice on the issues concerning the return of and illegal trade in human remains and cultural items. And it increases the penalty for a prison term for stealing or being convicted of selling, purchasing, using for profit, or transporting for sale or profit human remains or cultural items. It increases that from 5 years of prison time to 10 years of prison time for the maximum term. So it doesn't say that there's a minimum term, but they did increase the maximum term to 10 years. So that is definitely something that I'm feeling much relief about. And it says 2021, but I don't think that we touched base on that yet this year. So I wanted to make sure to bring that up. And then just a quick note here from CNBC, the Department of the Interior is providing three tribes $75 million to relocate from their coastal areas because they're at risk of destruction due to climate change. The Nutok Village and the Native Village of Napakiek in Alaska and the Quinault Indian Nation in Washington State are each going to receive $25 million to relocate their buildings inland. And they're also lining up and awarding $5 million grants to eight other tribes to help them plan for relocation because their tribes will need to be relocated. So they are on coastal areas that are at risk for destruction and flooding. And, you know, it just goes to show that tribal nations and Native peoples and other people of color are historically oppressed and disenfranchised groups in the United States and are more exposed to the effects of climate change and risk. So while I'm happy the federal government is giving the funding, it would have done a lot more to prevent this climate change to begin with.
Hey, Pini Gigi Ogama, for the news, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be with talking to the executive director of Take Action Minnesota. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 38. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows level off around 33. Cloudy skies. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Overcast skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM WISS 1100 AM. Right now 39.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And I suppose in a way it's also brought to you by Take Action Minnesota, because we have a guest on tonight from Take Action Minnesota, Robert.
Wow, what a great segue, Ogama. Hey, we have the director of Take Action Minnesota, Elena Farhat, and I see that she's on here and her mic's muted. That's hard to say. Mic's muted. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, good evening. We are all over Turtle Island here. We're on 10 stations live across the country, and we want to support what's going on coming up here. And first, tell our listeners, we have a lot of people all over the country listening, what is Take Action Minnesota? And then let's talk real quick about the event that's coming up.
Yeah, good to be here. Glad to be heard by so many people in so many places. Take Action Minnesota is a statewide multiracial, multigenerational people's organization, bringing people together across our state to take action for racial, economic, and gender justice. And we really act from a place of our values. We really believe in a world where everyone can live happy, full, thriving lives. And we start there. And then we say, what is getting in the way of that? And we connect people together to come together in public and make the change we need to see in our communities and in our state.
You know, I've loved your organization for a long, long time. And it just, you know, when it comes to all the progressive stations we're on across the country, it really just, every bullet point that what you guys do just align with us so perfectly. And it's really an honor to have you on. We have a relative of yours on every Friday. And it's fun to hear her story because her daughter kind of got her into politics. And now she's a state senator of Minnesota.
Yeah, I think you're talking about my mom, Robert. Yes, that is right. My mom is Senator Mary Kunish, and she loves being on your show. And, you know, I just had my sister and I both had daughters this last year, first grandchildren. And they also, that's my mom's day to watch them. So it's always the rule, Robert, is we've got to pick the girls up or at least be there before she comes on your show so she can focus. And I know it's such a joy to speak with you and to everyone across the country. And yes, you know, you might think, oh, her daughter's a executive director at Take Action and she's a state senator and what a political family. But it really wasn't that way. You know, I got into organizing. I fell into it like a lot of people just fall into it. No one told me that it could be a career path, but for everyone listening who wants a job and making change, it can be a career path. And my mom, you know, supported me, didn't totally understand it, like lots of parents of organizers, and then started volunteering on campaigns I was on. And she's incredible. You know, she's incredible at connecting with people and bringing people together and moving towards a common goal. And so was invited to run for office and get active, she said yes, and quite the force in our state, just like in our family.
Absolutely, and what's really fun, too, on Fridays, we have dueling babies, because not only your baby and your sister's baby, but Ogama has a baby, too, so they're all on the air. So it's a baby fest on Friday, right, Ogama?
It absolutely is. My daughter's going to be 9 months here on the 8th. And yeah, she's on camera. She's hitting me in the microphone. She's talking in the background. It's definitely a lot of fun to have the young ones involved.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
They give us hope, you know, they give us hope.
Oh, definitely. And it's always fun to run into you at different places. I know I just got to give you a quick shout out when I was a high school teacher, as your mom was a teacher too, when St. Paul was on strike, Take Action, and the executive director was marching right next to me, and that was great to see you there. And always surprising where I see you, but it shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, we run into each other quite a bit, but it is funny, Robert. As I was thinking about this, this segment and thinking about the way that workers and community are coming together to demand a better future. It's so funny. I went right back to that. And you and I marching together, you brought your drum and you let me drum. And I didn't have a very good beat at the beginning, but you were patient and I got a good beat. And we marched together. And it was just, that was a powerful moment. And I feel like the last time we marched together is really similar to the time folks are going to be marching together this Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited about having this conversation with you.
Well, let's talk about that. What's going on this Thursday?
Yeah, so this Thursday, Amazon workers and community members are coming together in an event called Workers Rising. And probably at least 150. If the folks listening to this who are in Minnesota come, it'll be more than 150. You should totally come. Gathering throughout the day to connect, build relationship, learn together, plan together. And then the big event is in the afternoon, all gathering at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Shakopee to demand that Amazon, you know, really take responsibility for its role to deliver for a just transition to a clean energy economy in our state and across the globe, as well as to deliver good jobs. And, you know, Amazon workers have been organizing in Minnesota with Awood and are facing and continue to face just, you know, immoral workplace conditions, just unsafe, lots of surveillance, not good pay. And so we're all coming together to demand that Amazon be the type of place that cares for our people, both when they are working in their warehouses and in other places, as well as in our communities and for our climate.
Exactly. And they can afford all these things. And that's, you know, during the pandemic, they were the only people really making money and people buying things from them. And it's just, we need a fair wage and fair conditions for these people. We can't go backwards, right?
Right. I mean, I think the statistic is that in 2020, Jeff Bezos himself added $70 billion to his net wealth. And so that just puts it into some perspective of how much money we're talking about here, just an individual man. And so, let alone the whole company. And the company continues to grow. It is the largest retailer in the country. I'm sorry, the largest retailer in the world. I think it's the sixth largest company in the world. And, you know, a lot of us interface with Amazon online shopping or, you know, seeing the Prime trucks in our neighborhoods. Or mm-hmm. maybe we know folks who have worked in the warehouses. But right. Amazon is much bigger than that. You know, they have this massive web services infrastructure, like the back end of our internet and infrastructure. They own a lot of it and they're contracting with our government. And so a lot of federal as well as state and local governments are contracting with those cloud services. They have the Ring, you know, if any of you have a Ring on your front door, like that's owned by Amazon and they take that data and sell it. Yep. They have an Alexa, you know, so they're just, it's really everywhere. And mm-hmm. the company has gotten to, you know, when companies get so big, it's no long, you know, they're no longer like your standard. It's not even like a big company. Like we're not even talking about like, are you a small business or not? I mean, Amazon is at the size of, and with like the consolidation of power and influence that, you know, they have as much responsibility as any of our local or state entities of government to like show up and lead, and the way they operate is impacting our daily lives. And so this action is really to say, like, you are consolidating power and resources, and yeah. And that is impacting our lives, and we get to have a say in something that big with that much impact on our lives. And especially when you have that much money, you got to put it to good use, and put your money where your mouth is when you're talking about you know, saving the planet and a just climate future.
The Irony is the name of the company is Amazon. That's the irony. And this is our Standard Oil right now. We need to break them up like all these big companies and get back to that. But we only have like a minute left. Let's talk about the event one more time so our listeners can key in on that. And we'll be talking about it. Ogama and I will be talking about it for the next couple of days also.
Awesome. So if you go to our website, takeactionminnesota, all spelled out, .org, you can find more info. It starts, it's a program and rally at the Shakopee Amazon Fulfillment Center called Worker Rising. Workers and community members are coming together to demand that Amazon deliver good jobs, good, safe jobs in our communities, and that they pay for a just transition to a clean energy future in Minnesota.
Wow, Pina Gigi, for being on. Let's do this more often. Really appreciate it. And maybe one day we'll get you on the same day as your mom and surprise her. Ho!
Oh.
Great to having you on. And we'll be talking about that the rest of the days up leading up to it. So Pina Gigi, for being on, and we'll talk to you real soon. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back with Dr. Stately right after this short break. Stay with us.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else. ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Biden goes to church, delivering a sermon on the birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church, where King was a pastor.
We gather to contemplate his moral vision and to commit ourselves to his path, the path that leads to the beloved community.
This a day after President Biden's special counsel revealed that five more pages of documents with classified markings were found in a room off the garage of Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. A special counsel appointed, congressional Republicans calling for an investigation about the timing, but Democrat Adam Schiff saying on ABC's This Week,
it looks, as far as we can tell, that it was inadvertent that these documents were in these locations. When they were discovered, they were immediately provided to the archives or to the Justice Department.
A domestic airline flight crashing in Nepal, leaving at least 68 of the 72 people on board the plane killed. This is ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Speaker Voss, I understand you don't have any children. Does that mean he's been possibly practicing
sex with
contraceptives?
What?
Or is he just less than a man? How do you go through the entire life three wives later and no chitlins?
Shooting blanks?
Perhaps.
Pull and pray.
Doubtful.
Not getting any.
Unlikely.
Unable to perform.
More likely.
Paying for it.
I hate to judge.
We don't judge here. We're the Devil's Advocate.
Listen to the Devil's Advocates live weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.
The Rick Smith Show. Where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind a Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind a Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I'm Chris Jakimic. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. So in 2017, I was serving as an Air Force First Sergeant. Our motto in that role is, my job is people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jakimic, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I just wanted to let everybody know that this portion of the show is sponsored by MNSure or MNSure. If you're looking for affordable health insurance, make sure you go to MNSure.org to find a plan for open enrollment before the end of the year.
Right on. We love the support, and being supported by MNSure is just an awesome thing. Hey, we're waiting for Dr. Stately, and I just texted him, and I'm not sure if he has the link or what. But, Ogama, I'm wondering if you have the capacity just to bring that up again about the Amazon action one more time for our people that are listening.
Yes, absolutely. So this Thursday, December 8th, at the Twin Cities Amazon Fulfillment Center, there's going to be a support event for community members and Amazon workers, asking for workers' rights and demanding that Amazon contribute to the just transition and to a sustainable economy and good jobs here in Minnesota. You can find more information at Take Action Minnesota. Minnesota is spelled out, not Take Action MN. It's Take Action Minnesota. .org/workersrising, or just go to the Take Action page and you'll see at the top it says Take Action. So this Workers Rising event is a campaign that's actually led by the Amazon workers themselves and supported by Take Action to demand raises, worker safety, and a just transition. And like Eliane said, while she was here, we just had Eliane Farhat, the executive director of Take Action Minnesota, join us for a segment on Native Roots Radio. And like she said, this is... there's no good reason for Jeff Bezos to not be paying his workers a living wage. He made record profits in 2020 and continues to make a record amount of money with all of the things that Amazon has stock in or things that we use in our daily lives. And they really need to take responsibility for their impact on our climate, their responsibility to treat people with respect. And there's a form on Take Action Minnesota that you can fill out to let them know that you'll be there on Thursday, December 8th at the Amazon Fulfillment Center. And I do believe the flow of the day, they're gathering at 11 a.m. at the MSP Airport Terminal 2 Blue Line Station for a morning action, and then heading over for lunch. And then at 4 p.m., they're doing the MSP One rally with Amazon workers. So make sure you go over there and get all of the details.
You know, I have a lot of books, Ogama and Dr. Stately. By the way, welcome, Dr. Stately, the CEO of a Native American Community Clinic in here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. I have a lot of books, and I feel like people that are making $70 billion, especially during the year of COVID, and not helping their community, I mean, how much money can you have? I mean, they're like hoarders, too. Oh, did I just admit being a hoarder? They are hoarders, I should say. Oh, wow. Hey, Dr. Stately. We just had a nice guest on before you.
Well, welcome. I mean, I think somebody that tries to amass billions and billions of dollars is a little bit different than somebody who tries to amass a bunch of books and knowledge.
Yeah, definitely.
It's possible you could be trying to compensate for something like a poor self-esteem, but I don't think that that's what you're doing when you hoard books.
Yeah, I think I suffer from an abundance, an overabundance of self-esteem. I think I have too much self-esteem mm-hmm. for a person that, like me, should.
Yeah, like you got your helping and then somebody else's too.
Are you guys going to make it? That one really got Robert today. Dr. Staley, you're on point for the humor.
That was a good one. I just rolled right with that one.
It's like, hey, you know, it's good to have self-confidence. That's what it is. It's good to have self-confidence.
Right. Good. And it's good to be also a good tap dancer on live radio, too. Ho! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also good to be humble. This is hey. Where our ancestors have taught us. But, right. Good reality. Yeah, I think like one of the things that's challenging about that conversation is that, you know, there was like they always say like in moments of crisis, there's always opportunity. So I think right. that, you know, some people interpret that as like, oh, the world is in the middle of a pandemic. Let me, you know, become a billionaire like 19 times over, right? Mm-hmm. Versus like, oh, let me see what I can do to contribute to the improvement and the betterment of all humankind. Some people are just wired differently. Yeah. Right. And well, at least, I think that it really has a lot to do with, depends on that. So,
well, at least Rockefeller gave out dimes when he walked around and tried to buy people off. Standard Oil, it was another big monopoly, just like Microsoft, and here we are with Amazon. And but yeah, he liked that one. He did give out dimes. He had a film crew follow him around and gave out dimes to kids during the Depression or even before the Depression. Oh, Dr. Staley, you accidentally muted yourself. And there you go.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. I was going to say that it seems like, you know, I don't know, I guess back then in the Depression era, a dime was a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, a dime was a lot of money. I mean, you can get like, you know, a whole handful of bubble gum for a dime.
Baseball cards are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars were a dime when I was a kid, or even a nickel.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Kind of really wishing you held on to those now, huh?
Oh, I did.
Did you? That's good.
I have a lot of them, yeah. My mom was a collector, but that's a different show. We could start a collector show or pack rat show or something like that, but Wendy would not approve.
Yeah. Well, we already know, like, through the intimations and the connotations that your wife has made on, you know, on public radio here. On the airwaves, that you do have a tendency and propensity to hold on to some things, like those things behind you.
Oh, I still haven't framed that present for you yet, but I'm not sure if you celebrate Christmas as a Native man in the Native family, so I'll have to figure out when to get this to you.
I don't necessarily celebrate that, but I do celebrate receiving of gifts.
Yeah.
Celebrate that.
Exactly. Hey, Dr. Staley, we haven't talked a lot, and there's a lot of reports out there about what's happening with COVID. You got the flu. You got all these other things coming up. And I mean, I didn't get sick for 3 years because I didn't go anywhere. And when I did, I wore a mask.
Yep. Yep. Now, you know, I think there was like maybe 3 or 4 shows ago that I talked about, or maybe it might have been like in early September, perhaps. I talked a little bit about this, the potential for like the confluence of like the flu and COVID. And then as early as like August and September, we were starting to see, you know, the impact of lots of young kids returning to school. RSV was sort of starting to, you know, take off. And it was you could see the writing on the wall if you looked really closely and carefully. These three respiratory things that sort of like all coming together at an inopportune time could cause some real challenges for our communities and for our healthcare system, and that's exactly where we're at right now.
Dr.
Ironically, Staley, 2 weeks before Christmas, right? So it's like three weeks before Christmas.
Well, Dr. Staley, I've heard reports, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard reports that Really, you need that last booster. You need a flu shot for sure. But the last booster is really what's protecting people now, not the last three or four that we had earlier.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that the last booster, I think, and there's challenges. Like, so we're talking about the bivalent booster, and I think that there's some people that have been reluctant to get it because, I've heard multiple sort of positions from different people on the issue of whether I should take the vaccine or not, the new bivalent booster. And I think one of the challenges is that I've talked to people. I always, like, I've said this on this show before, and when I do talk to like folks and my colleagues or within a professional setting, but even when I talk to my relatives, I'm like, even if it's just, I've said this even about the flu vaccine, even if it's only going to give me 20 or 30%, or 40%, protection, like, or the 40% of effectiveness is that, that kind of thing. Like, in a situation like this, I'm going to sort of kind of go with like some percentage of protection rather than zero. Like, I'm not a gambling man, but I'm pretty sure that I know that 40% of something is better than 0% of nothing.
You're not a mathematician, but that I think.
Exactly. And I don't even play one on TV.
Yeah. Or radio.
Radio. And I know, but I know enough to know that, like, and I think that's kind of like what I always try to tell family members is like, you might not get full protection in the sense that you won't get sick from the flu, but your likelihood to have to be sick 10 days straight with the flu, with a horrific case of it, is likely to be significantly less. And COVID, of course, same situation. I happened to back in like late August, early September, I got the bivalent booster as soon as I was able to take it. And then also I got my flu vaccine. And, I did that because I was sick with COVID and I had, like, I still have some scarring in my lungs. And I've been having, some lung issues and breathing issues on and off intermittently for the last several months. But I didn't want to take the chance that I was going to get sick again. I didn't want to take the chance that I'd have COVID at the same time I'd have for the flu. And I was not willing to take that risk because I didn't want to end up back in the hospital again. I like my experience of being in the hospital with COVID was that it was scary as heck. So,
yeah, let's talk a little bit about that in the next segment. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we're Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Minnesota, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 38. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows level off around 33. Cloudy skies. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Overcast skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM WISS 1100 AM. Right now, 39.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, relatives, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Yeah, also, this portion is also the Sacred Pack Rat podcast with Robert and Anthony. Dr. Stately. Yeah. No, hey. So,
we're
Dr.
More
Stately.
Famous than other pack rats, rat packs. Rat Pack
with Sinatra. And well, anyways, that's another show. Hey, Dr. Stately, you know, we were just ending the last segment, and I wanted to bring that up, the segment too, is that when you had COVID, there was no vaccine, and a lot of times it was a scary, scary deal. And how quickly do we forget that? Not you personally, but just the public.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a certain amount of like complacency that we've slipped into as a society, you know. And I mean, I don't know what it's like around the world, because I don't travel anywhere outside of the state of Minnesota very frequently, because I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hockey season, and when it's hockey season, like, I'm anchored to the state. Yeah. I can't go anywhere doing it. And then, but generally speaking, like, I think across the United States, like, one of the wealthiest nations in the world, one of the, we are a well-developed country. We have so many resources, so much, abundance here. And yet, what we have not a lot of abundance in is having clarity around our strategy around public health, right? People are not practicing good public health strategies. I think we have, many of us have slipped into sort of like this, place where we're like, well, I'll be just fine because I don't do X, Y, and Z, whatever X, Y, and Z is going to be. And I think part of that is like, the practices of not wearing masks and not socially distancing and not being really careful, like washing your hands and having good hygiene. Has not served us well in this last year, right? We've actually seen COVID in its mutated state pass fairly quickly and rapidly between and among groups of individuals and within communities, and actually contribute to significant amount of hospitalizations. And while we're not seeing the amount of people die that we were seeing in March of 2020, right, or in late 2019, we continue to see upwards of like 100 and some deaths a year. I mean, a day. Yeah. That's not insignificant. That's like about 500,000 people a year. Right. And so part of it is like we have to get back to the place where we begin to understand like the benefits of practicing some very basic public health strategies, like, wearing masks when we're sick and we're in close quarters with people where we're sharing space, doing things like staying home, even though, you know, we really, really want to get to the mall and buy that one thing that we think we're going to die without. Stay home and wait until you're well.
Right.
And well enough to be among other people. And that's a responsible thing to do. And what we're seeing, because people are not doing those things, is we're seeing flu rates significantly higher than they've been in a number of years. Low vaccination rates for flu. RSV ripping through communities. The people who are the most vulnerable for RSV are those little tiny ones, because they have little tiny airwaves. And RSV is a virus that causes the airwaves to sort of like close up and have difficulty breathing because of the inflation and the inflammation that happens as a result of that. And so those folks, and then the much older people, are much more vulnerable. I recently looked at stats from the CDC and from some of the national data. The overwhelming majority of people who are dying now from COVID, and there are many people that are still dying from COVID, are those who are over 65. Who are the most vulnerable. And I want people to think about like what it would mean for you to be sick with COVID, the flu, and maybe even possibly RSV if you have a child or an older person living in your home, or that you have. There is no vaccine for RSV. There's really nothing you can do for them. It's a virus. They got to kind of ride it out, right? It is not going to bode well if you get both of those things or all three of them at the same time.
And it's hard too. And I remember this as teaching school. It's hard for people to keep their kids home, but they should be keeping them home when they're really sick. And you talk about masks. I just think about, you know, within a couple of weeks when that judge that Trump put in there and got rid of the mask mandate on planes, I don't see anyone now with a mask on in the plane.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't take planes anymore. But also, one of the things I wanted to just really quickly say is that, you know, there are a lot of people that cannot keep their children home. They have to make a decision between, like, staying home with their child when they're sick, or and not going to work and losing the money that they would make to, like, you know, buy food, which is now 7 to 10 times 7% higher prices in some of those things than they were 2 years ago. So it's like, you know, the people are not.
Oh, we just lost you, Dr. Stately.
I thought it was just me, Robert.
Everyone below the 1%ers. So, right, you know, the people who are doing poorly, who are losing their homes, who are struggling with everyday life, the cost of everyday life and inflation, and it's just compounded by the illnesses that are going on, is that, you know, are the people who didn't get wealthy during the pandemic. Right. The people who got wealthy during the pandemic and had abundance, they're doing well. They can ride this thing out for as long as it needs. So we have tremendous inequities in our health system and a few other places as well. So
remember. Yeah, no, that's a perfect thing to bring up, and it's just frightening because of that. And also, you know, it's interesting too, what you said about 65 and over. That's the first I've heard that. That's really frightening. Let's get that other booster. I think a lot of people are forgetting about that booster. I thought I heard only 17% have gotten the second booster.
Yeah, only 17%, which is like, I mean, that is so under, and even about something like 34% or 24%, I think, of people who normally would take the vaccine, there's like a 13 to 24% reduction depending on your jurisdiction, like of people who are not taking the flu vaccine, right? And it's, one of the challenges that we have facing us as a result of the pandemic and some of the things that have been going on with the politicization of like the vaccines and stuff is that people have less faith and confidence in vaccines today than they had 20, 30 years ago. Right?
Unbelievable.
And so it is creating a lot of vulnerability in our society, but it's most impactful to the people who have the least amount of resources to just meet everyday demands of living.
So. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for that's a great point. Thank you, Dr. Stately, for stopping in and spreading out your knowledge throughout Turtle Island. Really, really, really appreciate you and what you bring to the show. Hey, we need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenberg.